This is the best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting Adam to 21000.
All right, let's talk.
Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Adam Gold.
NBA Finals starts tonight at midnight. No, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. That's a preview of a shot we're going to take. Anyway, this is going to be a validation finals for somebody. Giannis, past MVP of the league, defensive star, a freak, right? But one who has not yet enjoyed postseason success. Certainly not the, any success you would associate with somebody as great, as front-facing as the league has. Impossible to guard all of that. It has been a struggle in the playoffs. That doesn't mean that it's Giannis's fault, but when you are one of the best players in the league and you haven't yet reached an NBA Finals, even though he's still relatively young, it already starts attaching itself to you. Now, I think it's probably more about coaching, more about the team makeup than anything else. Still can't figure out why they willingly allowed Malcolm Brogdon to walk. I understand there is a salary cap, but they could have fit. You're allowed three star-level players, right? So you're telling me they couldn't have had Giannis, Middleton, and Brogdon, and then filled out around that? Regardless, we'll get back to those types of things later. But anyway, so this is his first trip to the NBA Finals. Chris Paul, first ballot Hall of Famer, in amongst the Isaiah Thomas crew as one of the best point guards in the history of the NBA. First time ever in an NBA Finals. The only difference is that Paul is nearing the end of his run, and this truly is a legacy-making possibility.
It's different. Obviously, having practice here and not at the practice facility, but it's still basketball. I think we all locked into, you know, the goal at hand. And excuse me. Not much, just, I don't know. It's weird, no games being on. I usually watch games every day, so that's probably the part that sucks. That's probably the part that sucks the most, but I'd rather be playing than not.
Yeah. This is a new one. The only games being played, Chris, are yours. I'm fascinated by this series. If you had told me at the beginning of the year that it would be Phoenix and Milwaukee, I would have laughed at you. Heck, if you had told me at the beginning of the playoffs that it was going to be Phoenix and Milwaukee, I would have laughed at you, regardless of the seeds. But this is who we have, and there is intrigue in amongst the entire rosters. Here's the thing. I think this is going to be decided by the players 3 through 8 of the rosters, not by the top two guys on each team. Not by Giannis and Middleton, although Middleton is more of a barometer for whether or not the Bucks are winning or not. Not Giannis is consistent. Paul and Booker, probably not the reason. They're the reasons they win, but it's the other guys. So players 3 through 8 on the rosters, I think, are going to be the keys to this series. We'll talk about it with Brian Geisinger in about 15 minutes. I actually heard someone call into Max Kellerman's show yesterday. I don't know, it was on in the afternoon on the Fan in Raleigh. It sounded to me like Max was doing it over the phone. Like he was, wherever he was living, he picked up a payphone. Do they still have payphones? I don't think so.
Did he call collect?
I don't know.
Can you still call collect?
If there are payphones, you probably still can call collect. But who has a home phone? Like, I don't even know anybody that has a home phone. So So I heard this person calling to Max Kellerman's show to say that he was rooting for the Bucks to win without Giannis. Actually, he called him Giannis, but never mind. But he was rooting for him to win without Giannis because I guess he just hates people. Like, he wants Giannis to still not have a title, and he doesn't want Paul to get one. Like, how can you just hate both people? I don't know. Maybe he does. Maybe they both owe him money. Maybe they're bad tippers. I don't know. But he wants he wants the Bucks to win without any contribution from Giannis, who, by the way, is doubtful for Game 1. Chris Middleton on having or possibly not having Giannis.
When Giannis is out there, a lot of times we could just give him the ball and let him go to work and, you know, let him orchestrate a lot of things out there. Without him, we have to do it by committee, moving the ball around, driving it a little bit more, playing just a little bit faster with a little bit of different flow. But, you know, I think guys have done a great job of adjusting with him not out there in, you know, two of the most important games of our season.
I think it taught Milwaukee something to win games 5 and 6 without Giannis. Even though Trae Young came back for Game 6, it taught them a lot. I'm surprised Phoenix is as big a favorite as they are in the series. I'm surprised they're as big a favorite tonight at home. I kind of think Milwaukee's going to win this series. I think Milwaukee, I think they showed, they proved to themselves that they're more than Giannis. And they don't have to rely on Giannis to do everything. Not that he won't do everything. He will when he comes back. I think it's going to take everything that Paul and Booker and others have to, you know, have to contribute for Phoenix to win this series. The Stanley Cup Finals are not over yet. I really thought it was going to end last night in Game 4 in Montreal. But it didn't.
Throws the puck ahead as Caulfield cutting for the net. Caulfield off his stick, and then Anderson scores! Josh Anderson extends the series. Canadians stay alive, and there will be Game 5.
So that was a combination of NBC and, was it Sportsnet, Rogers?
Yeah.
Right,
Sportsnet in Canada.
We had the Canadian version. Do we have the French call? Because
do we?
The French call is spectacular.
Bataille, qui est perdu. Et Anderson va en profiter. Il va accélérer. Anderson devant la passe, le tir, la rondelle libre, c'est cool! Anderson force la présentation d'un cinquième match.
Awesome.
Absolutely awesome. Great hustle play. Started in the defensive zone with a great defensive play by Anderson, who created the opportunity. Good defense by Jan Rutta to force him wide. It looked to me like Yanni Gourde. I don't think he recognized the puck was right there on, you know, basically at his feet, but looked like Gourde could have gotten it out of the way, and he didn't. And Anderson comes back from behind the net and kind of dives out and just flips it over Vasilevsky. Great individual effort by Josh Anderson. I don't think Montreal's winning the series. I don't believe Tampa didn't want to win yesterday. But I think Montreal was a little inspired. And maybe Tampa decided they did want to win at home. And that will come tomorrow night. We'll actually hear from the mayor of Tampa in a little bit. So we're going to talk to John Forslander. I am curious because Tampa is about to win their second straight Stanley Cup Finals. So the bubble was just pure hockey. No crowd involvement, right? If you watched it on TV, it was hard to tell. Actually, the production value that NBC did this last summer. So, actually, what was it? Almost October.
Yeah, close to it.
So that production value was so spectacular that it was hard to tell on TV. But from a player standpoint, you know, basically, you're like in a recording studio. You win a Stanley Cup, so there's no outs. It's just hockey, which maybe gave us the purest champion, but it was obviously very different. And it would have been, could you imagine the Lightning winning a title on the road? And really just getting, you don't get the chance to enjoy the spontaneity of it with your fans. So that will come tomorrow. And I hope they do it. But then again, I'm here for the drama and the chaos of going back to Montreal for a game six. I don't think it'll happen. I think Tampa could have easily won the game last night. They had power play. They had 3 minutes of power play time to start overtime.
Can Montreal continue to stave off elimination? You can only stave. You can't avoid elimination, but you can stave it off.
You can. They staved once. They will have to stave two more times before we get to a game seven. It's tough to stave three times in a row. There's no question about that. We'll talk to John Forza in a little bit. After back-to-back weeks of rank-and-file PGA Tour winners, that's what we had. Harris English 2 weeks ago and somebody named Cam Davis yesterday. Looks like a really good young player from Australia, though, by the way. I don't want to disparage that. The star power returns tonight. The match. Yeah, the match.
I'll be honest, I kind of forgot about that.
Well, I knew it was coming. I actually thought it was yesterday.
Oh.
But I mean, I didn't, wasn't going to go out of my way to watch it yesterday, nor will I go out of my way to watch it tonight. Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady versus Bryson DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers. Can I get a collective yawn? Yeah. I mean, look, maybe it'll be fun. I'm not going to say that I won't see a second of it, but, I mean, it'll sort of be, like, in between. Like, I'm going to watch the NBA Finals tonight. Now, that doesn't start until, again, nearly midnight. 9 o'clock. But the match isn't going to be over, and I've got other things to do, so I'm not going to sit down at television at 5 o'clock to watch the match. Just not. But, you know, if I do get some time, maybe I'll just glance at it. So maybe somebody will have to.
I think Alec will have a full breakdown.
Nah, he won't. He ain't going to watch it either.
Oh, he won't?
No, hell no.
I thought he watches everything with the club.
No. You don't want. We don't watch this.
Oh, okay.
You know what would make it better, honestly?
What's that?
Charlie Woods. Put Charlie Woods out there. Bryson DeChambeau and Charlie Woods against Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. That's all we need.
Mm-hmm.
Get Tiger's kid. I remember watching the PNC father's son. It isn't the father's son anymore, because it's a lot more than fathers and sons. It's a lot of, there's daughters involved and things like that. So that PNC championship last year, where Tiger played with his kid, and Charlie outplayed his father, flat out outplayed his father. It was awesome to watch. That was good TV. So we need Charlie Woods. One more thing before we, maybe two. Wimbledon is down to the men's quarterfinals, almost through the ladies, to the ladies' semifinals. Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic, both still swinging. They're on opposite sides of the draw. Still a long way to go for both to get there, but they are at least on track to meet in the finals. Coco Gauff lost in the round of 16 yesterday. So did Sebastian Korda. He is the son of former Australian Open champion Peter Korda, who's originally from the Czech Republic, but they're American citizens now. Seb Korda is maybe the top American prospect in 20 years. We haven't had a truly great American male tennis player since Andy Roddick. I mean, all respect to, what's his name? Isner.
John Isner.
All respect to John Isner. You know, great caniac to borrow from Trip Tracy. But really a one-trick pony, just a serve, and it's hard to win these days because these guys can all return serves. So, but Korda is a tremendous prospect. His two sisters, Nellie Korda and Jessica Korda, are the number 1 and number 13 players on the LPGA Tour. Nellie Korda just won the LPGA Championship. arguably the greatest producer of American athletes is a Czech, Peter Korda. So it's just because Seb Korda should be really good. Tomorrow, or actually today, Italy versus Spain, 3 o'clock, first of the semifinal matches in the European Football Championships. England and Denmark tomorrow. Second semifinal tonight at 9 in the Copa America between Argentina and Colombia. Brazil defeated Peru yesterday 1-0. Wouldn't it be awesome to see Messi and Argentina take on Brazil in the Copa America final?
Yes.
That would be very cool. NBA Finals, game one tonight. I can't wait to talk about my hot take in a little bit, but I'm going to leave that alone for Brian Geisinger. League Pass Lair is here at BGeis_Bird on Twitter. So one of two things is going to happen. Giannis will get his, as befitting one of the best players in the world today, or Chris Paul will get to redefine a legacy that is already Hall of Fame worthy, but he would be able to stamp himself an NBA title. I know what you're rooting for, but does it bother you that that's where we go with these things?
Immediately to sort of like the narratives and storylines?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, for me, yes, it does. But I get that's what people are interested in. I mean, you know, I'm a dork with basketball. So, right. So I care about the X's and O's. I care about the numbers. And to an extent, I work in media. Like, I'm interested in narratives too. But I do understand that that's sort of what a lot of people care about, or that's what gets the more casual fans in the door. And, you know, I don't know who the league and its media necessarily should cater to. But that's the route that they've chosen to go. It's the route we've chosen to sort of like talk about and frame about these things. And it doesn't really bother me like that much.
It's the embrace debate, that part of our sports media culture that needs to do that. But it's undeniable that Paul goes to a different place if he has a title, right?
Yeah, well, yes. Yes and no, because I think right now his spot at like the greatest like point guards of all time, I think he is like solidified as number four on that list. I've said this group before, but Magic, Steph, Oscar, Chris Paul, like those are the top four guys.
He's already ahead of Isaiah.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
His career is substantially better than Isaiah's. I mean, Isaiah has the two titles, but
right.
Other than that, Chris Paul is just uniquely better than him in virtually every possible category, even like sort of like comparing across eras or whatever. Isaiah, amazing player. Like, it's not even like, this is not even like a knock on Isaiah Thomas. It's just like Chris Paul has been this good for this long. But at the same point in time, I can't ignore that. Like, yeah, it would. Maybe in the eyes of others, it would help solidify his career. I mean, I'd like to see him do it, even though I like his bona fides as like one of the greatest of all time are already solidified. But maybe if you sort of like pan out and look at more than just like, you know, by position, you look at it as all time players. It's like, you know, there are certain greats that it does jump them a level in terms of, you know, where they rank at the pantheon at the end of their careers or whatever. So I don't like dispute that it does matter. But if we're talking like the greatest point guards of all time, like Chris is right. Like, he's right there. And I really do believe him as fourth on that list. And I think he's been there for a while. And I don't think even one other championship like that could really get him to like, you know, jump someone like Oscar or Steph or whatever.
But at least we wouldn't be able to use, I mean, it's not really a joke, but the final cut that we've been able to use, and I don't generally play these games, so I say we, the royal we, to Charles Barkley, to Patrick Ewing, historically great players that never, Karl Malone, that never won a title. I'm kind of glad that John Stockton didn't, but that's fine. That's just a personal thing for me. That's just a personal thing for me.
Hey, I feel that way about Karl Malone too, man.
Oh yeah, and Malone tried to basically just join one with the Lakers, and of course they didn't. Back when Gary Payton was also part of that, if I can't beat him, join him type of an NBA championship attempt. All right, so to me, this is not about Paul. It's not about Giannis. It's about basically everybody else. The Bucks, to me, the barometer of the Bucks is Chris Middleton. And for, I don't even know what the barometer is for the Phoenix Suns. I mean, Paul, maybe it's Paul's offense. I don't know. But to the Bucks, is basically, don't they go as Chris Middleton goes?
To an extent, yeah. I mean, he is their sort of their late game closer, for lack of a better term. He's the guy that can kind of get a bucket whenever. I mean, there are moments when he gets rolling, he looks like 6'7" Durant out there, right? Like it's not even that he just gets amazing separation when he goes one on one and tries to get into his bag or whatever, but he just makes tough shots. He shoots over guys. He's a big time, a mid range pull up shooter. But he obviously can extend it out pretty deep. I mean, Drew Holiday gives them some of that too, and Drew also gives them like legitimate rim pressure, which is what they brought him here for. If you're flipping it over to the other side, if you're looking for like a barometer for Phoenix, again, like I think Paul and Booker are sort of like the givens. Mm-hmm. I kind of think sometimes with them, if you're thinking X factor type stuff, it comes down to the how aggressive the wings are and how many threes guys like Crowder, Bridges, Cam Johnson, who hopefully he's healthy because he's had a great playoff run. Like how many threes can those guys snipe? And then really like how can Ayton stay on the court? Because we've seen in so many of these series, it's like he has to minutes match with Jokic, or as soon as he hit the bench against the Clippers, they felt like they could put in DeMarcus Cousins and have him beat up on Dario Saric. And in the first round, he was the matchup with Anthony Davis. And now he's going to be asked to guard Giannis and Lopez. And he's done well against Giannis at times this year. But if you put Ayton on Giannis, well, then who's, you know, can you really have Jay Crowder on Brook Lopez and let him try to like mash teams in the post? So maybe you put Ayton on Lopez, but then you've got Crowder on Giannis if Giannis is playing or when he plays or whatever. So I would say, and if he doesn't play, it certainly simplifies the calculus for Phoenix. But I would say, yeah, like Ayton's like minutes / defensive impact are like a real sort of like measuring stick for Phoenix team success.
And the way I look at it, because I mean, I know they've got Saric, but they really don't have a lot of depth up front. They don't have a lot of usable size.
Right.
So for Phoenix, if Giannis doesn't play, I mean, Phoenix has to win the games that Giannis doesn't play, don't they?
100%. I mean, like I know people have been sort of like trying to either joke about Phoenix getting lucky and being able to skate through the Western Conference Finals, which I disagree with, but just that maybe they got some injury luck with Davis and with Jamal Murray and Kawhi.
Well, they did, but they had their own injury issues too.
100%. I mean, Chris Paul messed up his shoulder. Cam Johnson missed time. Chris Paul got COVID. It's like, and you want to talk about like injury misfortune, like the fact that they as a two seed had to play the Lakers in the first round is a testament to like bad luck with injuries, you know? So like, let's not like ignore that key detail. Or because people have been trying to have the conversation of like, oh, is there an asterisk? How big is the asterisk? A lot of like asterisk talk right now, which is also, is annoying. But no, yeah, you've got to win these games, without Giannis. Like it's how you capitalize here. It's how you capitalize on the matchup. Cause like, all these titles, they all count for one, right? Like at the end of the day, and I do think once you get a certain distance out, you're not even like, I don't care about if there's an asterisk by this title or not. Like, you know, there could only be one champion. So you got to win four more games. And if you can do it without the best player on the court or the best two-way player on the court or however you want to couch Giannis, it's massive and it simplifies the matchups for Phoenix on both ends of the court. I mean, you got to put Holiday on one of Booker or Paul, and then that should hopefully free up the other one. But if Giannis is out there as a help defender, well, then that complicates everything. And then, like I said earlier, for Phoenix's defense, you just put Ayton on Lopez, and you don't even have to entertain the, well, who do we put DeAndre on? How do we rotate? How do we help off that? You can just put him on Lopez and go to work there. So yes, you have to win these games. It's imperative because this Bucks team, the point I was initially trying to make is they're really, really good when they're at full strength. Like they're on a 3-year run here of being like arguably the best regular season team in that span of time. And now they're finally putting it together in the playoffs. They have 3 all-stars. They've got a, you know, MVP type guy in Giannis. So this team is excellent. Beating them is not going to be easy. So if you can get them when they're shorthanded, yes, you have to capitalize it. And especially, you know, when it's at on your own home court tonight too.
Final thing for Brian Geisinger, League Pass Lair, accsports.com, on Twitter at @BGeis_Bird. One of the things about the Bucks and the intangibles that they bring is P.J. Tucker. Since so much of this last stretch has been about Enloe High School, Nate McMillan getting the contract extension, and our old friend Lavelle Moten, who will join us either late this week or early next week. Does P.J. Tucker's impact on this series get diminished because there's nobody theoretically that they're going to ask him to shut down unless they decide to put him on Devin Booker?
Yeah, that's the answer. That like they could put Drew on Chris, right? And,
yeah.
And that may neutralize CP3 in the pick and roll a little bit, which is such a big part of Phoenix's offense. And then you put PJ Tucker on Booker. And Booker's gonna, you know, he's gonna do his thing. And I, you know, Pat Beverly gave him issues in the last series, and Tucker's not the same, like, you know, on ball menace that maybe that Pat Beverly is, but he is a very good on-ball defender. You saw him, you know, occasionally give Durant some difficulties, and he's not at quite the size disadvantage, length disadvantage against Booker. So I think he will have a real impact on both ends of the court because of, you know, him guarding Booker with his also like his activity as a help defender. And then, you know, it will be fascinating to see who, when PJ's on the court, who Phoenix defends him with, right? Because my guess is they're going to say PJ's the guy that just really wants to stand in the corner and shoot threes. We can maybe get by putting Chris Paul or campaign on him, and they're not going to be involved in the action. But then how much will Milwaukee try to counter that and use PJ Tucker to screen for Jrue Holiday or to screen for Chris Middleton with those guys? So then Phoenix has to decide, like, do we want to switch Chris Paul onto Chris Middleton, or do we want to switch campaign onto Chris Middleton or Jrue Holiday or vice versa? So I think PJ is going to have, even if you like look at the box score at the end of the game and it's like PJ Tucker had took 3 shots, they're all corner threes. He made 1 or 2 of them. He had the steal. Like, did he really do that much? Like, yeah, he's still going to be like, you know, the top 1 or 2 defensive assignments. And I think his activity level as a screener offensively and an offensive rebounder could be pretty key for the Bucks here. And really shout out to Enloe, Coach Moten, one of like the best guys in basketball.
Yeah.
And, man, Nate McMillan getting a, you know, a new contract with the Hawks and PJ in the finals. Very, very cool. It feels like, you know, North Carolina and the Triangle always finds its way to, you know, to the center of the basketball universe. And this is just sort of another example, but a cool, unique one at that.
All right, real quick, a prediction from you, Brian Geisinger, for the series?
Oh, man. I'll say Suns in 6. Especially with Giannis compromised seemingly. So I'll say Suns in 6. They have home court. I think they're the marginally better team when both of them are at full strength, and we'll see what happens with Giannis. But I don't feel good doing that either. And if the Suns get swept, I'm gonna have to like think about what I want to do if I want to stay working in basketball.
Oh my gosh. Don't do that.
So Suns in 6, that's what we're going with.
All right. I like Milwaukee in the series. I don't mean right. 6-7, yeah. Something like that, but it's going to be a long series, but I like Milwaukee in the series. They are, and I just think that the people are, I don't know, I think they learned something about themselves playing games 5 and 6 without Giannis, and maybe that was more about the Atlanta Hawks not being quite that good. You know, the Hawks taking advantage of first the Knicks and then the Sixers.
Well, without Trey in game 5,
right.
and Trae Young was obviously so compromised in game 6.
Sure.
It was like, yeah, I mean, they can switch Brook Lopez onto Trae Young and not be punished
but
for it.
But they had
like,
Trey in game 4, and they unloaded on the Bucks, who had Giannis until the game was basically out of reach.
Right, right.
All right, Brian, we'll talk to you throughout, as always. I appreciate your time.
Anytime, guys. Have a good one.
There are just 2 rules to the segment. It doesn't make a difference At whom or at what you take the shot, it needs to be fair, obviously clean, fair, or funny. So if you're going to be unfair, by all means, be funny. Because we can all take it. We understand that these are not serious. Well, maybe some of them are.
Oh, it's... I'm going to take it very serious.
Are you? I am
this
also going to take it serious.
This is my one chance to take a shot.
We have other chances. 919-860-5326. 919-860-5326. Let's let Elvin and Apex start us off. Elvin, you can take a shot at anybody or anything. What do you got?
Hey, Adam, real quick. It's Elvis, by the way.
I'm sorry.
No worries.
Elvin, of course, was the brother-in-law from that show that shall not be named.
I got you, yeah. So, first of all, man, love the Benatar kick in there. That's awesome.
It's 1980s to the core.
No, yeah, absolutely. So here's my shot. I'm taking my shot at Craig Elo. He is the poster child for Michael Jordan and all the abuse that guy took.
Wow. The thing about Elo is that he was an elite defender. Craig Elo had the rep of being an elite defender. But there was no way he was staying with Jordan on that.
No way. And honestly, as I think through this, maybe the shot, and rest his soul, Lenny Wilkins, maybe the shot should go to Lenny for continuing to put Elo on Jordan. Why not Ron Harper? I think that was mentioned in the documentary, actually.
Harper was and a future Chicago Bull, Ron Harper, right?
Yeah.
Ron Harper was a great, great player. I remember Ron Harper at, was it Miami of Ohio?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was a dynamite college player. So,
yeah.
I think you're right. I think we should clown Mike Fratello, who became the czar of the Telestrator after that, right?
That's true. Yeah. Fratello, forgot about him. Hey, real quick,
sure.
Just backing you up on your shot at the Westminster for always picking little dogs, man. Yeah. What's up with that?
I don't know, man. They have a big dog phobia. I think they're afraid. They're afraid big dogs are going to take over the world. And we'd all be here for it.
Yeah, even if you're going to do little dogs, why not a beagle every once in a while?
Well, beagle won. Beagle won like 6-7 years ago, the beagle won.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I missed that one.
Yeah,
okay.
That's all right. Thanks, Elvis. Appreciate it.
All right, man.
All right, here's my shot, Dennis.
All right, take it.
All right. And I've sort of referred to it a couple of times. The NBA Finals starts tonight at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many people will clown or criticize the NBA? What about the kids? What about the children?
Yes.
The answer is zero. Nobody will criticize the NBA, right? Nobody will criticize the NBA for starting the NBA Finals. By the way, the game's not going to tip at 9. It's like 9:10 or 9:18 or whatever it is. But God forbid Major League Baseball starts the World Series at 8:20. You have to grow the game. What about kids? Don't you want the kids to watch the entire game? Why don't we have World Series games in the afternoon? Money. That's why. So we will not hear it this week, and we shouldn't hear it. What ESPN and the NBA are doing, I guess it's going to be on ABC, they are simply maximizing the television rating. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's what the World Series does. They maximize the television rating. But, oh, no, when it comes to baseball, we have to suspend all economic sense because it's baseball. We must criticize. Knee-jerk reaction. That's my shot. At all of you people who will criticize Major League Baseball for starting a World Series game at 8:20. There you go. Oh, very good, Dennis. What do you got?
I'm going to take a shot at ESPN.
Okay.
Yes, the four-letter network. Stop talking NFL football. God, please stop. Well,
we're going to talk NFL football in like 20 minutes.
We're not doing it every day, are we? No,
well,
we're not.
No, probably not.
I looked up the other day from one of the studios I was here in the building here at the Mothership and looked up, and it was Aaron Rodgers not at training camp, question mark. Like, again, this? Mike Tannenbaum was on with Keyshawn J. Willis Zubin this morning saying, well, I think Cam Newton should be the starter over Mac Jones. Like, oh, so we're having the same conversation you had with Mike Reese a week ago and then some other guys. Like, we just – like, hello, like, I actually want more of a nuanced conversation. I don't just hear NFL and clap like a seal and follow along. That's my shot.
That's a good shot. Think a lot. I like the clap like a seal. I did like that. On Friday, our last show before the extended holiday weekend, I told people not to Jason Pierre-Paul. And I apologize for even bringing it up. I should have never brought it up. News happened over the weekend. It's very sad. And I feel, in a way, responsible. So, it's that. All right, I don't want to end on that note. So, let me end on this one. The competitive vomiting circuit has to stop. I don't call it competitive eating.
No.
It's competitive vomiting. And that has to go away. I was on the road listening to the radio yesterday, and they were talking about it, and I was literally in my car, like, holding back, retching. Why are people fascinated by that? Why? I mean, it's the grossest possible thing ever.
You can chalk that up on the list of events that I do not care about.
Gosh, it's troubling that that people watch that, because it's nauseating to me. Mondays during the football season, Will Brinson rules right here on this program. It's Tuesday, but it's sort of Monday. It's first day of the week, and I saw Will yesterday. We were 7-8 under par at wherever we played.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, 7-8 under a piece, maybe.
No, at least. Yeah. All right, let's talk about a couple of things. First of all, is there truly wisdom in silence? Aaron Rodgers in the hype press conference for the match tonight, which I know everybody is excited for. He talked about his quiet summer being about mental health, his own mental health, and there is wisdom in silence. Is he still playing games with us?
Probably, because that's what Aaron Rodgers does. there's actually, like, a few minutes ago, I think they were doing some sort of promotional thing as well. It was a Jeopardy question. They were doing like a fake Jeopardy thing. And it was like, he starred in The Office as well as the Game of Thrones. He is a self-taught guitarist. And Tom Brady went to answer it. He goes, he's unhappy with his boss and he has no options. Who is Aaron Rodgers? Which is just kind of devastating. And Rodgers piped in. He said, correction, Tom, I never said I was unhappy with my boss. I think that Aaron Rodgers making this a thing over and over and over again this summer and trying to stomp his feet and complain about his situation wouldn't go over well. I mean, it would be treated, in a way, I think, from fans, and not that fans ultimately decide how this is going to play out, but I do think fans are a deciding factor in terms of the leverage and the pressure that gets put on the two parties here. I do think that if you wear down fans with nonstop, media, firing stuff through the media in the offseason, in this quiet period, I tend to think that that's a poor choice. So in that sense, I think Rodgers being quiet is good. We're going to get to training camp in a couple of weeks, and that's when this whole thing will be decided. And as far as the mental health stuff goes, maybe that's a buzzword that he's trying to play up, since it's a big talking point, and a good talking point, but a big talking point publicly. In recent weeks and months, I do sort of wonder if there isn't something to the idea of him just hanging out now. Like, he just seems like a different person. He's hanging out in L.A., hair's long, got a beard going, super chill.
Yeah.
Working, I sort of wonder if he hasn't fallen into this, I don't want to say alternate lifestyle, but a different style of living than what he was used to. And if that may affect his decision-making moving forward, just in terms of whether he's willing to play football or not.
Well, I mean, that's ultimately the decision. Like, when we talk about this situation and Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers and all of that, to me, Aaron doesn't have any leverage here unless he's legitimately willing to not play. And if he is legitimately willing to not play, then he has all the leverage. But in order to exercise that, he can't play. And I know I have spoken to people that are convinced that he will not play.
Sure.
I think we talked to Trey Wingo about this. And Wingo said he's convinced Rodgers will not play. And if that's the case, then he's got the leverage. Then the Green Bay Packers go into this season with Jordan Love at quarterback. And then we'll see whether or not Love is ready for this type of situation. He probably wouldn't be in year one. But I can't imagine Aaron Rodgers not only walking away from all the millions left, but he would have to return like a good chunk of that signing bonus, right?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, if the Packers wanted to pursue it, and you know,
why wouldn't they?
Sure. I mean, well, the reason yes, why wouldn't they? I agree. There are various ways that these things can play out. Remember, you know, with like Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson, the Lions tried to go after the money, and everybody's like, "What are you doing?" Yeah, so it's a different franchise, different player, obviously a different situation. But you know, look, if he said, "I'm not playing," and they're like, "All right, you know, don't play," I could see them just letting him keep the signing bonus money as a way of being like, "All right," because if you let him keep it, and he's just the one who's just refusing to play. Again, you go back to the fans and the public perception, all that. The Packers are like, "Hey, look, man, take your money. You know, do what you got to do to be happy. We want you to play. If you don't, if you're going to retire, walk away, that's fine. We can't trade you to another team." You know, then all of a sudden it really flips on Rodgers, where the Packers are saying, "Hey, look, we're not taking anything away from you. We want you here." And Rodgers is the one refusing to play. So that would be the only thought process there from a Packers standpoint. Plus, that, you know, that signing bonus money isn't coming out of somebody's pockets like it would be with another team. You know, it's not cash out of you know, Robert Kraft's or pockets, or, you know, David Tepper's pockets, you know, whoever it is. It's just you know, the millions of blue collar Packers owners who would be losing the cash.
Will Brinson, Pick Six podcast moderator, CBSSports.com, senior NFL writer. All right, quarterback news that does not involve Aaron Rodgers, and I'm still fascinated by how. By the way, he's not in LA today. He's got to be at Big Sky Ranch, or whatever it's called, in Montana for the match, which starts at 5 o'clock tonight on TNT. Check your local listings. This goes back now about 3 weeks or so, where people were, I guess, Ryan Pace of the Bears and Matt Nagy insisting, no, Andy Dalton's our starter. Justin Fields is not going to play. Like, how many people believe that if Justin Fields shows well in the preseason that he won't ultimately play?
Week one or all the season?
Like, well, I think if he plays well in the preseason, he's going to start in week one.
I don't think he will. And the only reason I don't believe that he will is not because it's the right, wrong decision. It's just based on what history tells us. And think back to, and I'm not saying Mitchell Trubisky outplayed Mike Glennon or anything like that, but the way that the Bears approached the Glennon-Trubisky situation was that, you know, Mike is our starter. We signed him in free agency before we drafted Justin Fields. We were giving him the ball to start with. And I think what will ultimately happen for the Bears is they will roll out Andy Dalton, because if you win with it, think about it this way. The Bears, in my opinion, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are not interested in winning the most football games, in my opinion. In my opinion, they are interested in self-preservation. And the best way to preserve your job is, one, to win games with Andy Dalton and have Justin Fields as a parachute option out there. Because if you stink, you press the parachute button and you let Justin Fields out. And when you do that, what it does is, if Fields shows out well in the regular season, people aren't going to scream, "Why didn't you start him?" They're going to say, "Oh man, like these guys have set this franchise up for the future in a good way." And so it's basically a gambit to have your cake and eat it too, by the Bears front office here, in a similar way in which I think they operated back in 2017. So I don't disagree with you. I think they should roll with Justin Fields if he looks good in the preseason.
I mean, I'm not suggesting that they should or shouldn't. They just protested so vociferously that it just made me laugh.
I just I just think history is, this is a history could repeat itself situation where Dalton plays, maybe the Bears aren't winning games. They think they have kind of an easy schedule early on. So maybe they come out hot. But if they struggle out of the gate, then it's a case where, you know, they're gonna pull the parachute and say, hey, look, you know, there's nothing we can do. We drafted Justin Fields, he looks good. That's just how they're gonna try and operate.
Any chance that we see a situation similar to what we saw with the Giants when Eli took over for Kurt Warner, or with the Dolphins as Tua took over for Ryan Fitzpatrick?
You mean in the sense that they start Fields and then take him down? Or
No, start the veteran, and then regardless whether or not the team is doing well, ultimately shift it over to the future.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that happens, but it would need to require, I believe, Andy Dalton being average to below average. If Andy Dalton's above average quarterback in the NFL in 2021 and the Bears are winning games, I think that they will probably sit Fields. And to be honest, a lot of this kind of hinges on Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't play, you know, the Bears have to be feeling pretty good about their chance to win the division. And if Aaron Rodgers does play, the division becomes harder. So I think those are some factors that build into it.
Real quick, back to Rodgers. Will there be a time this year where a team, maybe Denver, maybe somebody else, actively pursues a trade?
I think that they have tried to pursue it and have just been told no. And I think the Packers are, you know, as I noted earlier, Tom Brady's been like, you got no options, pal. I think that the Packers understand that it's either Roger, they're willing to test Roger's will when it comes to whether or not he'll play, instead of risking the possibility that they trade him and he's great and Jordan Love stinks and they look like complete idiots and then the fans really come calling for answers. So I think that they are dug in on not trading Aaron Rodgers and are willing to play chicken with him. But yeah, certainly a team, you know, if a team was like, hey, we'll give you 5 first rounders or something insane. You know, I mean
right. That would be insane.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like it would as any GM, any good GM of any team will tell you in any sport, you know, everyone has a price. I mean, there's a price that Aaron Rodgers can be had for.
Sure.
I don't think the teams will be willing to pay it. So I don't think you'll see, and with the Broncos too, I think they'll want to get to training camp and see how Drew Lock and Teddy B look and then maybe make a decision there. So clearly, Aaron Rodgers an upgrade.
You said that out loud, Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater.
I know.
I'm gonna leave that alone. But let me just plug Aaron Rodgers. Don't change any personnel. Plug Aaron Rodgers into the Denver Broncos. How much of a contender are they in the AFC?
I mean, I think they're one of the top 4 teams in the AFC, along with the Chiefs. Probably Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, and then it would probably be the Broncos.
Okay.
And you could make them the second. They just got to battle that division with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I mean, we were saying on the podcast, on the Pick 6 podcast today, we ranked all the head coaches. We discussed a list of head coach rankings. And we're like, yeah, Vic Fangio's down here at 21. If they got Aaron Rodgers, wouldn't he be like 15 or something like that? I mean, that's the kind of – you'd be like, you know, like maybe Vic Fangio is suddenly a really good coach because he has Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's the kind of impact he would have. The Broncos would go from, you know, being maybe the third best team in their division to being the fourth best team in the conference at worst.
I had heard that Vic Fangio has never won a game in September. I don't know that to be true. That's what I had heard. I have not done the research on that. Final thing. If Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Zach Wilson, quarterback of the New York Jets for the time being, has a problem with his mother, apparently, and social media. Now, she's not mad at him for social media. He's apparently mad at her about the things she says. And I don't even know specifics, but kind of walk us through what's up with Mrs. Wilson?
Mrs. Wilson provides her unvarnished thoughts on social media. She has a little Karen to her, I guess.
Oh, really?
Maybe like a Arkansas Karen or a, you know, like a Myrtle Beach Karen, sort of like that. I don't want to dive into
a Myrtle Beach Karen. Gosh, those are always interesting.
Yeah, she's and she provides her unvarnished thoughts. And now Zach Wilson is couching this. He told his mother that she wants her to stop doing the social media stuff because people are being mean to her. He doesn't mind the things that she's saying. My guess is that he is like, oh my God, Mom, I am getting so much crap
right.
from my new bosses that are like, and the people around me, please stop talking, but I'm going to couch it in a way that makes it seem like I'm concerned about you, because if I don't, you'll only double down. And so I don't know that Mrs. Wilson is going away anytime soon. I haven't really watched a ton of her stuff, but you know, you watch it, you'll I don't know if Myrtle Beach character is the perfect description, but go watch it and you tell me. There's definitely Myrtle Beaches involved, I feel like.
All right, so is Mrs. Wilson worse than Eli Apple's mom?
I thought
Eli Apple's mom was great.
Yeah, it's a very different vibe. So you tell me.
Eli Apple's mom became a little bit of a star.
Annie Apple, yeah, became a star.
So anyway, Will Brinson, you're the man. I appreciate your time. Happy July 6th.
Happy July 6th. Enjoy the time that we have free until football starts.
Doesn't it start already?
Let's get out there and get low again sometime soon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Training camp, what, in like 2 more weeks, right?
Yeah, it's too soon. It's a problem.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com.
You've been listening to the best of the Adam Gold Show podcast. Part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting Adam to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 3 p.m. Or you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.